CliffCentral.com. I want to talk to Riyad Moussa. It seems that Durban has not had enough of this man. Tickets for his upcoming show, which is on the 6th of May, that's next Friday, have already been sold out. And they, I mean, it's just amazing, this guy. A second show for the 28th of May has now been opened up. So those tickets are available. If you're in Durban, and Durban, no one in Durban buys any tickets for anything. I remember every time there was a concert there, they struggled to like quarter fill it. So it shows you Riyad Moussa has pulling power, man. This guy can entertain anybody. Tickets are available through Ticket Pro for his second concert. Get them now, Durban. If you're listening to me in Durban right now and you miss out on this, it's your own fault. From entertaining fans online with his virtual comedy club to gracing the big screen in his new film, which obviously it's not that new now, but it came out just a short while ago, new material. He has kept us entertained for years. We love having him on this show. And he's here this morning. We're going to do a little catch-up with Riyad Moussa. Here he is, looking fantastic in his very, very professional-looking studio. How are you?
Yeah, it's mainly props. Yes, thank you, Gareth. Thank you. I bought myself all these nice things. I got a roadie.
Dude.
I don't even know what this is called.
Right? A roadcaster. That is called a roadcaster. Yes.
Right. And I've never used it. Right. I think I've plugged it in. Right. But it's there as a prop at the moment. This mic is going through some
this bullshit.
Like something else.
You're such a fantastic guest. Let me just hit, your sound is good. You've got good lighting.
Good.
You've got a good camera on you. This is how people should be professional. This is what you do. This is a professional podcast, broadcast, video caster, this man. What a pleasure it is to work with someone who knows what they're doing.
That's my intention. Yeah. That's my intention. My intention is to do, I basically set up most of the, the problem is, it took me 2 years to set this thing up just when the pandemic is over.
So you're going to carry on using it because people aren't going to stop working from home. I mean, it's such a pleasure, right? Now, have you used it a lot since you set it up, or is this the first time?
No. I'm really tired. I had to do all these virtual shows for 2 years, performing in this room above my garage.
Wow. Right.
And, perform for no laughter, essentially.
Oh, that's
perform
horrible.
For the comment section.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And very often I'm performing for like an hour and a bit, right? Just talking. And not being able to see any response sometimes, right?
Wow.
And it's torturous as a comedian because laughter is actually a social exercise, right? People don't realize how much laughter is involved in the sort of community aspect, because you're 8 more times likely to laugh when you're with people than when you're on by yourself. Many times people...
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
If you took the laughter out of most comedy shows, you'd probably only have half the material. So if you say you were doing an hour with just you sitting there in the studio, this is amazing. That means you're probably doing twice what a normal hour's show would be.
Yes.
Because you're not...
Essentially, no, that's what it means.
You're not pausing.
Because usually when your material runs out soon, you're dying.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
On stage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what would happen live. If I just did my material, right, with no laughter, right, essentially it would feel like a death. Like, afterwards, I need to go for therapy. It'd be like a torturous experience. It's like when
fetal
I start
position
to stand
in the shower.
Up. Right, exactly. It's like, I also guess that's why I love stand-up comedy, because as far as like a performance art is concerned, it doesn't build your ego as much. You keep down, right? And in order to be funny, you can't be an elevated person, also. That's why like the best comedians will still go to the dingy comedy club, because they need to be able to relate to the commoners, the commoners. Whereas musicians...
You started talking about comedy, and I'm glad we are, because it's something that fascinates me. You know that we've spoken about this at length, and I said in the introduction earlier when I mentioned that you're going to be on the show, last time you came on, it felt like you know, we'd all joined in like Joey's therapy session. So I didn't feel, because Joey Razdeen was on, and he's had, you know, he's such an open human being. He just talks about everything.
Yeah.
And he started talking about how cuck his life had been over the last couple of weeks and months and years. And it turned into a really interesting conversation, but I felt like it was all a big therapy session for Joey. And I felt bad because we didn't really talk to you much at all. You brought up comedy. I love talking to experts, and you know, you're an expert. Not only are you a really, really insightful, thoughtful person about all kinds of subjects, but when it comes to comedy, this is your specialist area. You're like a surgeon in comedy as much as you are in medicine. So you've got a picture of Seinfeld and Chris Rock up there behind you. And that's not by mistake. You would have thought about why to put their pictures up there. Why not, you know, any other comedian? Why those two?
The formative influences in my comedic journey. So when I started doing stand-up comedy, the two guys who are friends, by the way,
yes,
were most influential, right, in me deciding to be a comedian. Like when I was in med school,
wow,
essentially I never knew about stand-up comedy until after fourth year medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched the stand-up comedy show.
The only time you can laugh is after you've done 4 years.
No, in essence, like that's when I knew Mark Banks. I'd gone to a Mark Banks show,
mm-hmm,
right? I think I was at one of the shows where he had that issue with the making a joke about the call to prayer and Pagad sort of tried to attack him and the poor Mark Banks.
No, but he had to go into hiding.
Lovely human.
He had to go into
human
hiding.
Human being had to go and run away and hide. Shame. Right? Right? He made a joke about the call to prayer sounding like a mosquito.
The
and
azar,
and why,
yeah,
that's why they call, that's why they called mosques. Right?
And,
look here, right? I think it's hilarious, right? And I think I just think, you know, why it became a big thing, because at that time Muslims were on the defensive because
of
the old Pagad vibe. And I don't know if that was when the old terrorism thing became in vogue. So everybody's on the defensive. So, you know, it was a couple of uncles, now we're going to attack Mark Banks. And he ran away, which was also hilarious. But Mark Banks has always been crazy. You know, like at our stand-up comedy shows, like you just walk out of the room and then come back in just with underwear on, right? With one of his like nads hanging out, right? And then we would pick up like, you know, a bowl of peanuts and then walk around the room. Would anybody like a nut? Right?
You
would leave and come back,
Riyad,
and not
Riyad,
say anything
you're not a head doctor, but I reckon that Mark is properly, he's insane. You know, every time I've ever had an interview with him, he is incapable of focusing on what's actually going.
Definitely not.
He's totally about
That's why he's brilliant.
No, but he wants to entertain people. He loves entertaining people, but he's totally disconnected from reality. And I can see him. I can see him running away from Pagad, and I can see him going into hiding. And it makes me laugh. It makes me smile on the inside. The guy's a proper genius, but he's totally deluded.
Yes,
I mean,
he
doesn't know what's happening in the world. He's not.
You can't. I remember once we interviewed him on 5FM. I think it might have been Mark Gilman who interviewed him. And the interview was so disappointing because as a real person, he's like completely serious.
No.
You know?
I don't,
really?
No, I think you're, again, just forgive her. She's drunk. He's not. Riyad, you know him. He's totally crazy, man. He's like that in
no.
He's like this. He's the same in person as he is on stage. He's totally disconnected from reality.
So, yes, and essentially, what would happen? It would be a conversation between Mark and I. We try somewhat to be serious and have some real connection, and he would like lead it somewhere into fantasy world. And I'm one of the guys who play along. I generally play along with comedians. I can be the straight man in a sense where I just keep on feeding you and you go down alternate route. And like, I always enjoy my conversations with Mark Banks. When he did the cameo in our movie New Material, mm-hmm. Joey and I could not stop laughing with all of his ad libs. It was just like, he's a hilarious individual, and you know, I miss him. I don't see him that much, I don't know how he handled the pandemic. But like, I really miss the guy, and whenever that's why I'm so happy that we're slowly opening up. I'm stressed out about the fact that they're still keeping it at 50%, right?
Why
the only thing that I can like formulate, I actually like to speak to Mahdi about this, is why they're doing that. They're being very conservative, waiting for two successive low hospitalization waves, right? And then they're going to open, because I know in America, when at a certain point they go, okay, it's fine now, it's over. And then we're going to open up. Yeah. And then Delta came from India and was like, no, sorry, buddy. Sorry. No, nobody. Sorry. All right. And then they had to. It was quite challenging Delta wave.
Again, you're a doctor, and we provided the world with Omicron, which is our way out, because Omicron was much more virulent, but much less deadly. So thank you, South Africa. We saved the world again.
It could spread. That's the whole idea. Yeah. It must spread and not do any damage. Right. Omicron came out the same weekend as New Material. So we had a new variant to go with New Material. I think Omicron won at the box office.
Yeah, because you couldn't. Everybody was terrified it would be worse. And then the whole world shut. Remember, people weren't allowed to leave or come into South Africa because we started the whole thing.
Exactly.
So listen, since we're talking about this, this pandemic and everything else, I was talking to another brilliant man who happens to be, I don't know. There's something about the way Indian parents raise their kids. Hey, so we're talking to Dr. Reza Mia the other day. He's invented this passenger jet, which is like a vertical takeoff and lift thing, and he's busy working on it. And obviously, there are a lot of steps in the process. But we had him on this week to talk about that. Now he's also a doctor. He's a plastic surgeon. But this is a side hustle of his. And you've got. I don't know whether your medicine is the side hustle or your comedy is the side hustle, but you're also this person who does these two really hard things. Is that because of the way that Indian parents raise their kids? Is that part of it?
I think the artistic, I don't know in terms of the duality, but because what he's doing, I guess, is also... First of all, there's a lot of expectations to
achieve. By the way, I don't want to blanket every, because there's going to be some loser Indian kid right now who's listening to us going, that's not true for me.
Yeah, I'm Indian. No. It's not like that.
No. Essentially, culturally, there's a lot of expectations to achieve.
Yeah.
Although it may not be specifically said, you just see the behavior, right? And I know his father has done extremely well. And, I just see my father working. Even my father's in his 70s. He still works like longer hours than I do.
Yeah.
So it's like you just see a certain behavior, right? And, that tends to help, I guess, in you achieving certain things. However, there are a lot of negatives, right? Like you can't even, I'm a comedian, but I find it difficult to play.
Sure.
That's weird. And I think that's why I became a comedian, right? To move away, to make my life a little bit more playful. So actually in my older age, right, I become more playful. But when I was younger, it's like I'm going back. Like when I was younger, I was like super responsible, super, super conservative, right? Like all the Benjamin people who knew me back then, right? It's like in the reverse. And now, so that in my older age, I'm actually becoming more and more playful and engaging with it. But you see, I'm also engaging with play and that mindset from a analytical perspective.
No.
So I don't just play I play. I play because scientifically, and I know that there are benefits to adopting this persona, right? In terms of your psychological and mental health. Yeah. So that's also negative in terms of play, because people actually play, they don't think about that, they just enjoy playing, right? And Hasan Minhaj has got the same problem,
yep,
right? From the Daily Show, like he's the exact same, even worse than I am, because he's a first generation,
right?
And Trevor has always said that about him. Trevor's always telling him, dude, relax,
yeah,
right? Relax, you know?
But that also only comes with age, though.
No, you know, see, there's certain people like Trevor. Trevor, one of his gifts, he can actually be in the moment, right? Mm-hmm. And experience the moment and not need to think about anything in the future. Whereas a lot of people in my culture, we live in the future, right? So, and that's a problem. Mm. Like, I know there's two things. Like, that's why I like also spending time with my kids, because kids are present.
Yeah.
They are there in the moment. Yeah. And then you go like, how do you get that? You know, and they force you to be in the moment, right? I don't even know how we got here, but I think it's the cultural influence, definitely.
There is a cultural influence
that inform your behavior.
But there's also that you bring up the age thing, and I think this is interesting too. I sometimes look at some of the things that I did when I was in my 20s and 30s, and I think, yes, I would never take those risks now. I would never say those things.
Like interview Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, like all the crazy stuff that I did when I was, you know, just looking for attention, trying to make a difference, trying to get ahead. You do crazy stuff. And now I would never do any of that. I wouldn't even attempt it. It's like you go into your comfort zone becomes the drug of choice. And it's not a good one, hey?
Right.
Do you feel,
right, exactly.
Do you feel pressure? Like you're doing this show now and you've done another movie. And this is part of that drive that I was hinting at when I brought up, you know, Dr. Reza, and I brought you up, and it might be cultural, but it might also just be an effective, like where we're at in our lives, because you and I are probably the same generation. And I sometimes think there's huge pressure for me to do something new every year. If I don't do something new every year, then I'm just resting on my laurels, or I'm going backwards, which is frightening to me. That really scares me. That's probably worse than if I hadn't ever achieved anything, because then you've got nothing to measure it up against. And I think about that often, and it makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
Right. So I think what you're talking about is the idea of growth, right? It requires mistakes to be made.
Yeah.
And that is essentially the human experience, because humans progress, right? Lions in 1,000 years are not going to be like, working with tools. They're not going to be like in the Flintstones, in the car, right? They're going to be lions forever, right? Yeah. But humans progress, right? And the way we progress is we try stuff out and we mess up, right? And then we either see someone mess up and adjust our behavior, or we mess up ourselves and adjust our behavior and become better. So all those risky things that you did is just you messing up and growing and becoming better, right?
Well,
now,
I don't know.
It starts as when you walk. Oh,
do you think about those people?
It starts when you walk.
You think of those people who first tried mushrooms, and then how many of them died because they ate the poisonous ones? Or you think about those people who, you know, there was a video someone sent me this week on WhatsApp of a man testing bulletproof glass in the, I mean, it was black and white camera footage, but his wife is standing there with the bulletproof glass and he shoots right at her. And I wonder how many wives died because that guy was probably his third or fourth wife. How many had to be sacrificed for us to figure out bulletproof glass? That kind of shit only humans do. You're right, Riyadh.
Faithful
right.
wife.
Yeah.
Yes, so and it's your nature that informs your behavior. There are people who are more conservative. There are people exploratory. There are people who don't do anything, just are defensive. There are people who shoot cars into space, right?
Mm.
And buy Twitter, like we're talking about Elon Musk. You know, like it's part of your nature. And there are certain people that actually push the envelope, and they you have to do that in order to grow. Right. And it's about our species growing.
Correct.
Because
it's like,
we can watch other people.
Your muscles and your muscle fibers tear apart, and that's what causes right. pain because they grow.
Right.
So, Riyad,
it's a theme.
I just want to break from that theme for a second because Sanele's got an urgent medical question, and let's just see if you can help her. Sanele says, guys, what's the best way to avoid a cold sore? I have a shoot on Monday, and I feel like a cold sore is developing right now. All of the times, I don't need this. I don't even have the cold. It's not a cold sore, by the way, Sanele, is not... Yeah. From the cold, but
I don't have the cold.
It's from herpes like simplex.
There we go. So
the consumption. Yeah.
Give Sanele the advice that.
Look, yeah, there are antiviral ointments you can use, as far as I know. But like also the stress. Stress.
Is it for a small area or is it for a bigger area? Seriously, a pharmacist said that to me.
For people who are listening to the podcast, Leanne is showing with her little fingers. She's showing a small area, as in like you'd hold a coin in your fingers, and then for a large like a area, sole. For a large area, she's spreading it like a vagina. All right, sorry, I had to explain that because there's nothing worse than people who are listening and they don't see it and they go, oh, what are these idiots laughing at? All right, thank you,
Riyad. Talking about.
Thank you. So you don't know, but there are some treatments.
Stress and like, well, you know, sometimes sunlight can also make it like worse. There's some people, you know, they go out in the sun, you know, because it's essentially a cold sore. There's a virus that's living in the nerve in your body and they're chilling there forever, right? And then when there's stress or when there's ripe conditions, they go, woo, let's see what's happening in the world over here. And then your body like sort of fights it back for a while. But you can't like get rid of that, apparently. That's what I can remember from medical school.
Hey,
right.
Do you
just
think?
No, like take everything I say with a pinch of salt. You know, like I'm as surprised as you are.
Yeah, you're not practicing.
That I remember
it,
something.
Leave him alone. I wanted to throw it in because I thought it was hilarious. That's what some people are dealing with this morning is cold sores. Do you think we'll ever, on this topic of humans advancing and the way that we adapt and we progress, do you think we'll ever get to a point where we can live forever? And would you want that to happen?
Sure. Living forever. Well, essentially, as a species, you hope that you would be able to live forever. So this is the whole idea why Elon Musk, I think, wants to explore space, right? Because he recognizes, you know, the vulnerability of a planet. And he thinks now, like, who will think that, bruh? And actually start doing it.
Yeah.
Right? Now we need to become, he says, we need to become a space-faring species.
Yes.
Right? Who gets that idea, bruh?
Yes.
Like, that's, dude, like, everybody feels bad about their aspirations compared to this, bruh. You know, apparently his roommate feels very inadequate. He's a roommate in college. I think I saw this Jordan Peterson clip about Jordan Peterson talking about he's a roommate in college and being such an accomplished individual, like opening, like, I don't know, multiple businesses, being a bajillionaire, but still feeling inadequate because Elon Musk, right, was his roommate. Right? You know, it's this.
Dude.
It's actually madness. You know, I feel bad. Twitter, I was like really Peru, my daughter wants a budgie, right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it, like, maybe I shouldn't. This bra bought Twitter, right? Like, so inadequate at this moment. Like, that's why we don't also like these billionaires doing these things now. I think that's why we don't like it. It's because we are all societally feeling very vulnerable.
Yeah.
Right? That's why they went to go shoot themselves into space last year. Right?
Yeah.
Usually I would go, that's a cool thing. But based on the fact that everybody is vulnerable, shooting yourself into space is not a cool thing for people.
No.
Especially like it's like Richard Branson going up there with his inspirational speech. Like he spoke about, what did he say? He's like, to all the kids out there.
Yeah.
You know, this could be you. I was once a child looking up into the stars with a dream. And now I'm an adult. I'm an adult in a spaceship with lots of other wonderful adults looking down at our beautiful, beautiful Earth. To all the dreamers out there, if we can do this, think about what you can do. I'm like, bruh, I can't go outside the house, bruh. Bruh, I can't. You can't. I'm not one to swear, right? But I was like, you know, like proper, like your master, like, you know, and then a week for later, sure. This bra, what, Bezos shoots himself into space mm-hmm. with a rocket that looks like a phallus. Right,
exactly.
It was, yes. You saw that, dude.
Big time.
Like they yeah. had any sort of design. It even had a shaft
and had a
glance. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. It looked like this. Yeah. Yeah. At a glance.
Yes.
The only positive thing, it was its circumcised appearance.
Yes.
That's the only positive thing, right? Mm-hmm. And they didn't even go into space. They just went to the edge of space.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like he was trying to.
They were edging.
Yeah, they were edging.
Intercourse with space. But he put the tip in. Right?
Just
you know, like
tip.
It was like so mind-bogglingly, like the timing of it was bad. It's like, it's almost like, you know, we've gone back to the time of kings.
Yes.
You know, where mm-hmm. the peasants are going like, we're gonna bring out the guillotine here, bro. Like that's the sort of the feeling, because there's so much opulence, right? The disparity is so big,
yeah.
It just creates that anxiety. I mean,
the funny thing is, you bring up Jeff Bezos. I mean, he bought the Washington Post newspaper a couple of years ago. Nobody complained about that. No one went, oh, well, I don't know about what this means for free speech. Now Elon buys yeah. Twitter and everyone's like, oh, my God, what is happening to free speech? You know?
Yeah, dude, free speech. My man over there got munged.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this a million times, but that is just some bullshit, right? If someone tried to do that to you during a comedy show, what would you do?
Yeah,
I'd probably like, I'm sorry.
No.
Like, I don't know. I can't understand it. First of all, I don't understand people defending Will Smith. And I'm so disappointed in Will Smith. It's like, because
yeah.
I was like a proper Will Smith fan. I've been reading his book and mm-hmm. I like completely inspired by this guy
yeah.
because there's so many like ways in which his life aligns with mine, just at a much higher level, right? And a lot of what he says is very inspirational. But what was very negative for me about that whole experience is it showed how inauthentic he actually is and how much it just made me feel that he was he's just a character. Whereas Chris Rock played his part. He was as authentic as they came.
Chris
right?
Rock.
He was a comedian from the start. Like Will Smith smacked him at the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went into funny immediately. Like immediately. Right?
He handled that so beautifully. Like if anybody
right?
if anybody came out of that thing well, it was Chris Rock. I loved the way right? he responded.
So with Will Smith, because the pageantry of it is like the Oscars is like it's how you look at it, right? Will Smith is either the king, right? Or he's a husband that's been insulted, right? Jada Pinkett is either a weak woman or she's the queen.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right? So if she's the queen, right? And if he's the king, that's not how they react.
Correct.
Chris Rock
like if I was her, I would have got up and apologized. I would have walked onto stage.
No,
on my husband's behalf.
Anybody who has a good wife will know that the wife will have been pulling you down. What are you doing? Get this done.
Yes.
Yeah.
To be fair, because I love like, but Chris Rock is the jester in that scenario.
Yes.
And we expected like Will Smith to be the king, and I expected him to behave like the king, even if he were offended, even if he came out there and he said, look here, bro, right afterwards,
not like
my wife has alopecia, right? I have to support her constantly all the time. She's very like emotionally distraught by this, right? And you know, this is not cool or whatever, right? Okay. I'm pretty sure he didn't know about alopecia, because comedians, we want people to laugh, right? So we know that thing wouldn't make you laugh if you have a disease. So they wouldn't have known,
but even,
right?
Even
they
that,
definitely wouldn't have
she's
known.
She's the one who's supposedly putting out videos about how she's okay with, she's an empowered woman. She loves her baldness. She's into, like, this is her, the new her. You can't say that and then get upset or let your husband get upset about it. It just seems like bullshit.
On the other hand, but I don't think I can see it's just like you only react like that if you're at the edge.
Yeah.
Right?
No, he's definitely the guy is stressed out. He's stressed out beyond belief.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it all just got to him. I think that there are a lot of very fragile people in Hollywood. That's another thing that nobody takes serious. So listen, Riyadh, I've got to wrap this up, but we are thrilled with... No. This is great, man. We brought you on to talk all about what's going on. And that studio you've got is incredible. And it's... No, it's great to see you going back on tour. So Durban, are you excited about Durban?
Very much to be performing for a live audience, right? I'm so excited. It is a bit of a bummer that, you have a very big venue, but you can only fill 50%. So that's difficult sometimes because...
What about dwarves?
You need the audience to be full.
If we use dwarves...
To feel full.
If we use dwarves, wouldn't they count for half and then we could get another 25% in? Surely.
I think so. I think we're onto something here.
I think that's a great idea. Okay, dwarves.
We're onto something here.
If you're a dwarf, try and get
little
in.
Little people.
Try and force your way in. Yeah. And kids. Right. Kids could go. Yeah. All right, Riyadh, listen, we got to go, but love you, man, and keep on doing the good work. We will catch up with you again soon. It's always too little time when we have you on.
Thank you, bro. Thanks, dude. So much for having me. Thank you both.
Cheers. There's Riyadh Moussa. You can get him at his two shows in Durban. The first one sold out 6th of May, but you can go to the 28th of May. Tickets available through Ticket Pro. Don't say I didn't tell you, all right? CliffCentral.com